Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, Sam Monjovi, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us tonight. Our guest tonight will have another member of the Lancers Wall of Fame Class of 2012, the longtime radio voice of the NASL Lancers, Wayne Fuller. We'll also be joined by Rochester Lancers MISL keeper Pat Hannigan, who also helped the San Antonio Scorpions win the NASL regular season title this year. And we'll certainly be having a heated discussion about this weekend's numerous refereeing debacles in England with Dick Howard. And of course, I want to mention to everybody that we are taping this show in advance due to the impending arrival of Hurricane Sandy. Joe Sirianni joins us. Pat is, or Sam Monjovi is off for the show this evening.
Well, Andrew, you know, we hear a little bit early today, but I'm looking outside of the studio over here, and the weather seems fine, but according to all the reports that we got, by the time that our show's going to air, you know, the weather's going to be a disaster. So I'm glad that the station was kind enough to work a time with us to tape our show. So,
and of course, we want to wish all the best to all of our friends down in the East Coast. Michael Lewis, of course, Freddie Gergerev, who works in New York, and all the guys who work on the East Coast that we've come to know for many, many years. Stay safe, everybody. Batten down the hatches. Get a good book.
Exactly.
Read a good book.
And hope the electric stays on.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
stay warm.
I'm hoping that, too. It would be a problem if I did that. But we're going to go right to our first break. And we come back, we will have Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, join us. And we certainly have a lot to talk about what happened over the weekend with refereeing in England. And we're going to have
Even in Italy
as well. It was a crazy weekend. We're going to talk about it next here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Here comes that rainy day feeling again.
Top-notch monogramming is
Soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsford United.
Top-notch monogramming is
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsford, USA Wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The 2012 WPSL Elite Champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all of their fans at Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to an unprecedented third straight women's soccer title this year. Be sure to visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com during the offseason for the latest news on the team and information about season tickets for 2013. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Score big with Salen's. Salen's is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salen's delicious real smokehouse ham or Salen's mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salen's deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salen's.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Rochester Lancers home opener is Saturday, November 10th at the Blue Cross Arena at 7 p.m. against the expansion Chicago Soul. There will be a live band, a player meet and greet, and a special appearance by Iron Man. Season tickets are only $130. A Lancers premium six-pack valid for any match is $60, and a family four-pack for the home opener is just $20. Get your tickets by visiting RochesterLancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Commons in Pittsburgh. Go visit Tony and Michelle and get all your Lancers gear for the season opener this Saturday in Syracuse. Show the Syracuse fans that the Lancer fans are more passionate. And then, of course, the home opener November 10th. And you, of course, can also get your monogramming and your embroidery done for the winter sports teams. And the number to call is 248-2650 or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. Dick, how you doing today?
not too bad. Like yourselves, getting ready for the hopefully not the worst in regards to the storm.
Are you guys in the same situation that we are in Rochester, waiting for the best storm to come?
Yeah, there's concerns, you know, that the winds and the rain will certainly cause some havoc here in the city. Obviously, it's going to be even more serious in the coastal areas of the northeast of the United States, but we will feel its effects, that's for sure.
That's right. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, we are taping this show in the afternoon just in case there are significant problems with Hurricane Sandy later this evening. So, well, Dick, we really don't have much to talk about here, do we? I mean, nothing much has happened in soccer.
He's upset today.
Well, let me just start by saying this.
He's upset.
I will bet...
Dick is upset.
I will... we'll get to that, too. I will bet my cats... that not 1% of American soccer fans before this weekend knew who Mark Clattenburg was. Now on the front page of ESPNFC.com, the international soccer site for ESPN, Mark Clattenburg is on the front page. And by the way, if you don't know
what did he do?
Mark Clattenburg was the referee in yesterday's Manchester United-Chelsea. Two-thirds of it was a fantastic match of the year candidate. The last third was a debacle because of this referee. But that, Dick, that is not the big story now. It is what has happened today. And there is reports that have come out that Mark Clattenburg is now under investigation for racial slurs he personally gave to John Mikel Obi and Juan Mata of Chelsea. And boy, in the environment...
What did he say?
I don't have the exact words, but I assume it's something that should not have been said. And now, with all the situation with the racial tension, with John Terry being suspended and this whole racism thing, to have a referee after making a call that changed the match, basically gave the match to Manchester United, which was a wrong call, he is now being accused of racism.
Is it, you know, before Dick... comments on it. I got to say this, and that's a good comment that I heard yesterday because they have the same debacle in Italy with referees. Always the team that lose do the complaining. The teams that winning, they never complain.
Well, let's just say this, that Sir Alex Ferguson made reference to both the red card of Fernando Torres, which was not a red card, and the goal that was scored by Hernandez, which was not a goal. It was clearly offsides. But as I wrote on Facebook yesterday, at least Manchester United only scored one offside goal this time. Last year they scored two offsides goals against Chelsea. But, Dick, obviously this is going to become a big story for all the wrong reasons.
Let's see what Dick's got to say about that.
Well, you look at Mark Tattenberg. I've always admired him as an official. He's a FIFA official, so he's one of the top referees in the world. And it really concerns me with these comments and the racial comments that are made during the game. As we know now, referees and assistant referees and fourth officials are hooked up by, you know, they can contact one another, and obviously in that kind of situation the two assistant referees will be aware of what he has said as well as the fourth official. So that has to be, that is a very, very serious offense, because you would like to think that a referee is colorblind, you know, in a game with regards to the players playing in the game. And for him to make racial comments, that is a very serious offense and will be dealt with certainly by FIFA as the world governing body. With regards to the decisions in the game, it's always the same, isn't it? We see games that are turned by a decision, and that was certainly the case, Andrew. I, you know, complete sympathy with you, because the card to Fernando Torres was totally uncalled for and should never have been given. The first one, I thought, should have. It was a professional foul. He was through, and even, you know, he fouled him, and he knew that. But the second one, the body language and the expression on not only Torres' face but also the Manchester United players told it all. It was a poor decision at that time in the game, and certainly was the turning point in the game.
And what gets me, Dick, is if you look at the replay, Klattenberg was about 20 yards behind the play, directly behind Torres.
Mm-hmm.
How could he
mm-hmm.
have possibly called a dive in that position? And I didn't hear anything that the assistants called this. If you look at the replays, Evans made contact with Torres. It was a foul. It could have been a yellow card to Evans.
And as Joe, who's always a fan of officials and sympathizes with them, would say, you know, there are just so many cameras now that we do see it from a certain perspective. It can be done in slow motion. But as you rightly mentioned, Mark Klattenberg was behind the play, and I don't know how he could have made that call from where he was standing. And it didn't seem as though he conferred or contacted his assistant over on the touchline. But it was the turning point. The final goal, geez, it was just so quick, wasn't it, with Chicharito getting back and putting the ball in the back of the net. The person I feel sorry for was Fedechet, because he had made an outstanding save, and the ball had just stopped on the post, so to speak, and then there was a flurry at the end of it. But it was a very difficult, a very tight call.
The thing with that call, Dick, 99%, maybe it's not 99, but a fair percentage of the time, when a player is actually in the opposing goal, that's where Chicharito mm-hmm. was, and he comes back and scores, that almost many times is called offsides, and it clearly mm-hmm. was offsides.
Where was the defender, though? The defender was supposed to mark him.
What happened is that Cech was actually in front of Chicharito. So there were not two players between Chicharito.
The way I saw Chicharito, he sprang away from the defender, and he, because the ball bounced and he got the ball. The defender in those cases, usually they mark the man really close. So they lost sight to Chicharito, and that's what happened.
Well, he was actually in the goal. He went into the goal because of momentum. And Cech, usually the goalie is one of the two players that put you on sides. But in this case, it wasn't.
The reality,
he was out.
The reality is this, is that, the, you know, just as we talked about it before, you know, we went on the air, we said, at least I believe that the game, you know, we call it the beautiful game, okay? But it's no longer the beautiful game because it should be called the game under scrutiny by television. Before that, goals were scored, offsides were called, team lost, and everybody acted the normal way. You know, because you win and you lose. Sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't go your way. But now, today, with all the cameras that we got, all the shows that they comment on the game before and after, and every day, you know, every day. We went from the negative to the sublime pertaining to soccer.
Yeah, but I am against, you know, using video for anything other than goal line technology. I think goal line technology is the way it is. But to stop the game and then do it frame by frame with regards to was he offside, was he not offside, is...
I watched
sort of going a little bit further. And I remember a situation, 96 Olympics, final game, Argentina playing Nigeria, controversial call. Was the Argentinian player, did he play the Nigerian player onside? Was the Nigerian offside because it was the winning goal in a 3-2 win for Nigeria? At the end of the game, I had to take the game tapes because I was working for FIFA at the tournament, along with the referee, a gentleman by the name of Pierluigi Collina, and we sat and I did it frame by frame in front of Mr. Sepp Blatter. The three of us were watching it, and it took us about 5-10 minutes to finally decide the Nigerian player was marginally onside. And I don't want to see that sort of happening now in games, which you get in other sports with regards to video technology. Just keep it. Goal line technology, is it in or is it out? The decision is made within seconds, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. But to stop the game and go to a fourth official or a fifth official and review it, I'm definitely against that. It's a human call. And the same thing, fans of Liverpool Football Club will be the same situation happened in the Merseyside derby where Liverpool scored a late goal and it was called offside and it looked as though he was marginally onside.
I think Suarez was onside, Dick. I think what was missed is I think there was a foul
The point is this. The point is this, that with the, you know, with the referee, the linesman, as we call him, you know, following the play, and perhaps sometimes there's people on his view side that he doesn't see everything, okay? So they make a judgment call. Now, if they make the judgment call, then we go to the television replays. You know, that, oh, my God, he was a millimeter off. He was offside. He could have been that. Before, it was, you know, the position of the referees, not that I'm defending him because I am, you know, but they're human beings. They make a mistake, just like we make mistake every day. And at the end of the day,
this
right now,
what Chicharito, I don't know if you saw the interview with Chicharito Hernandez following the game, and he mentioned that. He said he doesn't want to really comment on referees, but they make mistakes just like he makes mistakes in games, and it's that human aspect. Best referees make the fewest mistakes. The best players make the fewest mistakes in games. And I always related a referee to a goalkeeper who has to react to a situation.
Exactly.
And the best goalkeepers make the best decisions, you know, in a game. And the poor goalkeepers make poor decisions, just like referees.
This again, Dick, and I'll say it again because I've said it before, FIFA needs to seriously look at the number of officials they have for matches because I agree with you, the game should not be stopped like in the National Football League, like yesterday in the Dallas Cowboys-New York Giants game. The last 50 seconds took about 20 minutes to play, and it would ruin the game. But if you had a second assistant on the other side plus a goal judge behind the goal,
what do you mean a second?
So you have one official, a linesman running one sideline and half the field. You have two. You have four linesmen.
We already got six referees on the field. We got two goal judges, two linesmen.
Well, EPL doesn't have goal judges. The goal judge may have helped in that case, though. Because
my God, I mean, Jesus!
But you know, that's
pretty soon we're gonna have. Pretty soon we're gonna have 11 referees for every player on the field.
And the challenge is,
that's
guys,
what you're saying.
There's a shortage of referees and match officials, you know, that's been felt throughout the game. So
who wants to be a referee
for
nowadays?
More, it probably would only be at the professional level.
We need Tito Laurini to step in here. He's a great referee. One of our Lancer Wall of Fame inductees.
But. No, Dick, you know what I believe? I believe this, is that the game, the way it's going, unless something's completely done and understood, is that the game as we know it is a game that is governed by, you know, by mistakes. Somebody makes a mistake, they score a goal. And that's the only way. The perfect games, you know, very very few games end up in ties, and even the games that end up in ties, they have misgiven, missed ball, hit the post, you know, the offside. Oh my God, it's just a tragedy today. I hate that because they're ruining the game, and the naysayer, the people that you know, they think that it's a game of foreign people. They are enjoying this because they say, oh, my God, look at this.
Well, Joe, do you know why this is happening? Most one of the big reasons is because players today are more athletic than they were. In the old days, it was much more skill used, and the game was played at a slower pace.
But the speed of the game now is incredible.
It is, and that's part of the
problem.
And
you've got
problem.
Actors. You don't have soccer players anymore. You got actors.
Well,
they should ban all the actors. They should ban the Ronaldo, you know, the Ronaldo of the day, and all those people.
That's what Eric Winalda actually said on Fox after the game. He said that they have to crack down on diving and have fines and suspensions for divers. But then you have a situation like yesterday where Torres did not dive. And you know, how do you? It's
yeah. You've got to be absolutely spot on with the diving, and the way players are, they are just so good at what they do in trying to get penalty kicks. You know, and I know we're talking to one former FIFA referee, and he said it's almost as though they're diving into a swimming pool. The swimming pool is the 18 by 44 by is the penalty area, and you've really got to watch it because they're so skillful at doing that. And as you mentioned, the game is so much quicker, tremendous athletes, and the referees have to be just as athletic, and they certainly have very stringent fitness testing for officials, which is unlike many other North American sports, so they have to be in shape. But it gets back to the human element, and say the only one that I feel with the technology is goal line technology, and all the others, I'm sure throughout the season, Andrew, you'll get some games where Chelsea will get the rub of the green. They didn't in the big game, but who knows what will happen this season.
Dick,
it
just
tends to even itself out.
Before we get out of this segment, I just, you know, you and Andrew have mentioned the fact that the athletes are different today. They are faster. They are better. What is so different than the players that played the game before and the players that are playing the game now? You know, they got two legs, they got two head, they got, you know, they got
they
all the assets.
If they had two heads, that would be good.
No, wait a minute, they do, but it's beside the point.
It's just the pace of the game, Joe. I was watching a game the other day, a grainy black and white video, and it was England playing Hungary, and Hungary won 6-3, a tremendous game. But you look at that game, and then you look at games from the recent World Cup, and just the pace, the ball movement, the movement of the players was just so much quicker. But the individual skills, the technical ability of the Hungarians, you know, revolutionized football because of them inflicting a defeat on England, who had never lost to a foreign country before at Wembley Stadium. So it was certainly an eye-opener for me. But now, as you say, with the modern game and the method of training and so on, it is... And the players are so athletic and so fit with regards to their contributions to the game. And match officials have got to keep up with it. And the ones that don't pass the test don't become FIFA officials. But even then, we get this situation with a respected FIFA official. And as you said at the top, if there is a situation where he has been found guilty of racial slurs to players in a game, then this will be dealt with in the most severe fashion by the world governing body.
And what may be the most interesting thing of all, just by coincidence, Wednesday Chelsea plays Manchester United again in the League Cup, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that match develops, because there's no love lost between those two teams, that is for sure. But Dick, let's talk about one before we let you go. A couple of good things that happened, at least we think it's good. Other big news today: NBC has bought the rights to broadcast the English Premiership starting next season, a $250 million 3-year deal. So
excellent.
That really could change the way the EPL is seen. If their matches now could possibly be shown on national television, if they're
tremendous.
Critical matches.
No, that is great, isn't it, for youngsters in the US and Canada, when you're seeing top flight players and playing at the best, not some of the things that we've just alluded to, but there have been some tremendous games in the Premiership this year, and it really is great that the NBC group has thought fit to get a contract in place, because the more games that are on television, the better for the game. And whereas 10 years ago we hardly saw any games, now it's quite the opposite. It's great for the game.
Absolutely. And then the other thing, and Joe, we had this gentleman on our show about a year and a half ago, and Chris Wondolowski of the San Jose Earthquakes, he tied Roy Lasseter's record for most goals scored in MLS season, the record set in the inaugural year of MLS. He was with Tampa Bay, a team, of course, that the Rhinos beat in the Open Cup in one of the most famous matches in team history. But what a story Chris Wondolowski is, Joe. A guy who really came out of nowhere, and
then became a soccer.
He's now a superstar, and the Earthquakes are the top seed in the MLS Cup tournament, and very likely may have to play LA in the quarterfinals if LA can get by Vancouver, by the way, the first Canadian team to qualify for the MLS playoffs. So congratulations to the Whitecaps.
Yeah, that's great, much to the regret of Toronto FC, of course, and Montreal Impact, although Montreal Impact did have a little bit of positive news the weekend, because their academy team got to the final of the Canadian Soccer League playoffs. They played Toronto Croatia on Saturday and just lost 1-0 to a very good Toronto Croatia team. So certainly the academy players for the Impact did exceptionally well this season. And Toronto FC Academy also play in the same league. So it was good that happened, but even better if Vancouver can get a result against LA, which is, as we know, not going to be an easy task.
Well, they have the return of David Beckham and Landon Donovan to their lineup. They beat Seattle last night, so L.A. and San Jose has turned into the Lancers-Toronto Metros rivalry. There's talk about bad blood. Those two teams really do not like each other, and they play in the quarterfinals. That should be a very interesting series. Of course, L.A., the defending MLS Cup champions, and the Earthquakes winning the
Supporters'
Shield.
No, I think we're going to see some great playoffs in the MLS this year, some really closely contested games. And as you rightly mentioned, there's some rivalries being developed, which it's just good for the game, because you're getting fans traveling to support the team, and I really enjoy seeing these rivalries develop over the years. And maybe the only Canadian content at the end of it all will be the coach of the San Jose Earthquakes, a gentleman by the name of Frank Yallop. He has done wonders with the team again with a limited budget. Whether they'll get to the final, who knows, but they've certainly been exceptional in this season.
If they get to the final, they will host it, because that's the new rule this year. The top seeded team left in the final will host the championship match on December 1. So, Dick, thank you so much for coming on early today to help us out with the show, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Stay warm.
My pleasure, guys.
Stay
always
safe.
A pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Next up, we'll be happy to share some great memories of the Rochester Lancers, one of the men being inducted into the Lancers Wall of Fame this year, the radio voice of the Lancers, Wayne Fuller, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
WYSL, Avon Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda. Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Lancers home opener is Saturday, November 10th at the Blue Cross Arena at 7 p.m. against the expansion Chicago Soul. There will be a live band, a player meet and greet, and a special appearance by Iron Man. Season tickets are only $130. A Lancers premium six-pack valid for any match is $60, and a family four-pack for the home opener is just $20. Get your tickets by visiting RochesterLancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta. And coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
The Rochester Rhinos players, staff, and front office would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during the 2012 season at Salem Stadium and for the last 17 years. Rhinos season tickets for next year are now on sale and can be purchased by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK. Check out the Rhinos website at www.rhinosoccer.com during the offseason for the latest news and information about the team. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer in 2013.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni, again taping this show early today because of Hurricane Sandy. And Joe, I tell you, we were talking about the Wall of Fame for the Lancers, and there's one name that came up immediately. We said we're going to start a media section for the Hall of Fame, and the first name that came up was our next guest.
He was my roommate in many cases.
So you got all the juicy stories.
Yeah, he was the guy that we sit down in our room or. And we talked about the game, we talked about the players, we talked about the coaches.
We're joined now by the voice of the Rochester Lancers from the NASL, Wayne Fuller. Wayne's appearance is brought to you by New Way Auto Parts, 6 locations in the Rochester area. For more information and to find out where they're located and all the phone numbers, go to hanauto.com. That's hahnauto.com. Wayne, thank you for being on the show with us, and congratulations on being inducted into the Wall of Fame.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's an honor. Very, very happy about it.
Well, you certainly deserve it, Wayne. All the things that you did. I remember you coming in as a novice kind of guy. Were you and Charlie Shano when we first met?
He knew
and
a lot, was that's very, for sure. A lot more than I did. I learned a lot over the years. There's no question about that. I was not very familiar with soccer when we started out. A little bit in college, just a tad bit my freshman year, and then really didn't come back until 73 when I started doing some PA for the Lancers, and then started doing the broadcasting in 75.
So Wayne, tell us about how you came to be part of the Lancers.
Well, I was working in radio at the time in 73, and I had been suddenly became interested in sports a little bit. So when the Amerks ended their season, I sort of migrated over to soccer, since it was kind of the same idea of the sport, putting something in the back of a net. It was a ball instead of a puck. And they needed, a friend of mine was doing PA, did a couple of games but couldn't do them all, and they asked me if I wanted to do them. So I finished out the 73 season. I did the 74 season, then it came along to radio in 75.
And I tell you what, I know I've spoke with Joe Giuliano, the current voice of the Rhinos and the MISL Lancers, and he, like me, you know, we were kids, and growing up, we listened to the radio and to the sports broadcasts, and the two guys we would listen to, because I was a big baseball fan back then, and still am a big Yankees fan, but we listened to Joe Cullinane, who recently passed away, the voice of the Rochester Red Wings, and then we listened to you, Wayne, and calling the Lancers, and you know, you inspired us. I mean, both Joe and I are now involved in radio, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, admiring you and wanting to be like you.
It was different for me, because I had never done play-by-play sports. I'd just been basically a disc jockey or a newsman or something like that. You know, I'd read scores, and then I started doing the public address for the Rochester Red Wings. In 73 also. It seemed like everything turned in 73, 74 in those years. But the first game I did in Tampa Bay with this press box is about 500 feet above the playing surface, and everybody looked like stick figures below. That was quite a challenge. And I figured, well, if I got through that night, and I could probably get through anything. That was probably as tough as you could get to start.
There was no television monitors up in the press box at that time.
Oh, no, you were on your own. There was no, most of the games weren't even televised in 1975. In 1980, that became a different story. A lot of games were televised, but not in 75. You had one look at it, and that was it. Of course, nobody knew if you were right or wrong. That was the deciding factor. The only time you could be proved wrong is if you had the wrong guy scoring the goal.
I tell you, it's a lot different than it is today. I mean, when I first started doing college basketball, I had my scorebook and I wrote down everything and kept track of all the fouls and the scorers that way. Now, of course, you have the internet and the computer. It's all done for you, so it certainly is a lot different. But I know you also worked as the director of PR for the Lancers. What was that job like?
That was fun. It was a
terrific.
Couple of tough years, because we had all the, not only did we have the on-field, we had the in-court action in those days in 79 and 80, the battle between the owners of the New York owners and the Rochester owners. So that was, it was a trying time, but it was very interesting, everything that went on. I thought I was adequate in getting publicity. I know we did get a lot of publicity in those days. I did my best to try to make it a positive spin, as best you could with things going on. But it was 79 was a good season. Actually, that's when Bronco Sagota came up. We almost made the playoffs if it hadn't been for an alleged fixing by the Lancers that turned out to be a different fixing than really was.
That was
we would have made the playoffs,
that
probably.
Joe and I talk about this often, that if that match fixing that happened between Toronto and Philadelphia the day or 2 days after the Lancers won their last game against New England, the Lancers could have had a chance to win the whole thing, because they were playing as well as anybody in the NASL at that time. We beat LA, who had Johan Cruyff. We beat Fort Lauderdale, who had Gerd Muller. And the only team we lost to was the Cosmos and Toronto, I think, in a shootout. So, I mean, with Sagota scoring goals left and right and Staly setting him up and having Shep Messing in goal, it was a playoff team and possibly a championship team. And the way it ended, I know it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
If I remember correctly in the game against New England, the last home game that season, is that we actually scored the third goal, and they waved it off for offsides. I think I remember Silva scoring that goal.
I remember
that.
I was in Rochester
into the playoffs.
I was in the stands for that game, and people were around me were saying, "Well, who was offsides?" And somehow we heard it was this, you know, number 14, and there was no number 14 on the field, so we don't know why there was no offsides on that. And like I said, just like in 77, the NASL did not want the Lancers in the playoffs because we were a small market team. We played in an old stadium, and nobody wanted to play the Lancers at Hollander Stadium because we were practically unbeatable there. And Joe, I know it's, you remember that as well as anybody.
Wayne, give us your most memorable time of your career with the Lancers.
The Toronto game, the Toronto playoff game that Rochester won 1-0 on the goal by Silva, another Silva goal.
Ibrahim Silva.
Down two men at the time.
Yeah.
And clinched that playoff series, went on to play the Cosmos. We came close to beating the Cosmos in Rochester, but it was a bloodbath in Giant Stadium. I think if we'd have won that game in Rochester, it would have been a little bit different at Giant Stadium.
Mm-hmm. And the Lancers really dominated that game. And we, fortunately, Joe has a DVD of the game. And yeah. I tell you, that goal that Scully scored in the first half, the diving header from John Pedro's cross, boy, you couldn't have asked for a more beautiful goal. Just, you know, two mistakes that you would never expect the Lancers defense to make because we were rock solid. And, you know, the Cosmos, give them credit. They scored those two goals, and then they just bunkered down and were able to shut the Lancers out in the second half. Chet Messing was incredible.
One more question. Your color guy, Charlie Shano, what you got to say about
him?
Well,
actually, I worked with quite a few over the years at different times, mostly with Charlie, though.
And?
Hmm?
And what you got to say about him?
Well, he taught me a lot. There's no question about it. He was very nice. We were joking about that at the beginning of the interview, but he really was knowledgeable and still is knowledgeable of the field of soccer, considering he never played it either. He played basketball, I think, was his sport. But he really lived, slept, and ate soccer, and it kind of rubbed off on me some
too.
Of it.
He boxed for Aquinas. He was also a boxer for Aquinas. He claims that he was a champion. But then again...
Didn't know him as a boxer. I've seen him play basketball because I used to see him playing these celebrity games. So I know he can play basketball.
You know, by his own admission, he took no prisoners.
Kind of like the Lancers did at Hollander Stadium, but... I was just thinking back some of the matches I've heard you call. I mean, I stood up till 1:30 in the morning to hear you call the match in Hawaii, which, by the way, featured Charlie Mitchell playing for and coaching Team Hawaii. And Charlie, of course, will be here for the Wall of Fame induction ceremony. But and the match where we scored a goal with 1 second left to win, and then when Strenicer, who actually went to the Lancer later, Gene Strenicer, knocked us out of the playoffs by scoring a goal with 1 second left.
That was in 76.
76, yeah. Right. That's what caught the Toronto actually won the soccer bowl that year with the Eusebio. Mm-hmm. The great Eusebio played for them at that
time.
They
beat Minnesota that year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let me ask you about Toronto, because that was the biggest rivalry of the Lancers. It was the Serbians who played for the Lancers against the Croats who played for Toronto, and you obviously called many matches between those two teams. What was that rivalry like? What was it like playing in Toronto and having that kind of atmosphere at Varsity Stadium?
You feared for your life.
Well, the fact that I'm neither Croatian nor Serbian and wasn't even aware in those days of that problem of Yugoslavia, I didn't understand it at all. And then when everything blew up in the in Yugoslavia in the 1990s, my always comment was, well, we fought that civil war back in the 1970s rather than the 1990s. Friends of mine went up there, and they couldn't understand it either. They didn't know. You know, they said they were calling them, we were Serbians. So they called them Serbians and made slurs about them, and they were English, American English. They didn't know anything about Serbia. So it was kind of funny. Other people got involved. Everybody, I think, in Toronto thought everybody in Rochester was a Serbian.
They were mostly Italian.
Well, actually, Miralem Pasalic was a Croatian, but the Nick Mijatovic was a Serbian.
And Popovic was a Serbian.
And they got along fine, yeah.
We had a lot of Serbs, because Popovic was a Serbian as well.
I mean, yeah.
But we had Serbian and we had Croatian.
That made no difference whatsoever. I had no clue about all that stuff.
I know, and
that
came to
the time. That
was people didn't understand. They thought, you know, well, it's Toronto and Rochester, they're just so close together. It had nothing to do with it. It was really the history of the Europe we're talking about here. That's
when we went to play in Toronto, it was a complete different story, because over there in Rochester we didn't have the popular Yugoslavian or Serbian or Croatian population, but when we went over there it was a completely different story. There was a time that we had run into the dressing room and locked the door, because that we had won, you know, I don't remember where we won or lost, but anyway, we had a run because, you know, they were coming after us, and we locked ourselves in the dressing room.
Oh, my God. You don't see that anymore. Well, maybe you do in some cases, but Wayne, we want to thank you for being with us on the show today, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the 17th for the ceremony. I'll be very honored. I'm the MC, so I'm going to be the one making the announcement, and I'm very, very glad that you're going to be part of this Wall of Fame. I know all the fans will be very happy to see you as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Wayne Fuller here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And again, the ceremony, the induction ceremony for the Wall of Fame is November 17th before the Lancers take on the Baltimore Blast in MISL action. And, of course, you can meet the Lancers players on November 7th. And some of the Wall of Famers might be there, too. They've been invited as well.
So I'm sure.
I know. You can meet Joe Sirianni. It's the greatest honor of all.
I'll be over there passing out dollar bills.
When we come back, we will be joined by the anchor of the Rochester Lancers defense, keeper Pat Hannigan, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, with 6 locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store, servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to HanAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HANAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
For essentials like toothpaste or toilet paper, you buy in bulk. It's easier and cheaper. The same is true with insurance from Allstate. Save big when you combine your car insurance with home insurance, boat, motorcycle, ATV, or even another car. Buy in bulk. Save in bulk. Are you in good hands?
Start saving today. Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo, 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kuja Kuj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And welcome back to our final segment here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battista here with Joe Sirianni. Again, everybody, please be safe with the impending arrival of Hurricane Sandy. And we're taping the show early because of the potential loss of power and all of that. But, Joe, we're looking forward. This Saturday, the Lancers and the Syracuse Silver Knights, Tommy Tanner's team, we're going to take a road trip over to the On Center. And the second season begins this Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it. And I was at Turtle Sports the other night watching the team practice. I was impressed, and Pet wasn't there, but you know, his backups, they were pretty good.
Well, I think the guy who's going to be behind manning the nets this season for the Lancers, same guy who did last year, who did a fantastic job. Joined by Pat Hannigan, and Pat's appearance brought to you by the Lancers. Get your season tickets by calling 872-KICK. The home opener is Saturday, November 10th against the Chicago Soul. Pat, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to Rochester.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And congratulations also on a great season with San Antonio. The Scorpions of the NASL won the regular season title and expansion side. And I know they were very popular this year, drawing nearly 10,000 fans a game.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. The fans there really embraced the team. So, you know, it was a real legit season, and you know, a lot of high-level players on the team. So I was real happy to be offered a contract there. And, you know, I liked the city as well, so it was good.
Well, we're glad you're back here, yeah. Definitely, Joe. I know we were very happy seeing you in goal last year, and Joe, you can elaborate.
Well, you know, Pat, it's a privilege, I guess, for Rochester to have you as one of our Rochester Lancers mainstay, because last year you really did a fantastic job. You steadied the team, and I enjoyed you know, your playing. But now, you know, you played outdoor this year, and coming back to the indoor team, how does the transition going to work for you?
Well, every new season, I have to make that transition because I've been playing both, you know, going back and forth. You know, it just takes me a couple days just to, you know, reiterate some of the things that, you know, you do more in indoor than you would in outdoor. But it kind of becomes a habit. You just train hard for the first week, and then everything else just pretty much goes back to normal. And it's the same for outdoor as well, you know. As soon as I get back out there, it takes me about 4 or 5 days of training hard and, you know, putting the effort in, and then just, you know, you just get used to it right away. So it's not as bad of a transition as people might think, or maybe it is, and I'm just so used to it now that it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, Pat, I'm a fan of the North American Soccer League because, of course, the Lancers belong that. And I would like you to give us your impression of the North American Soccer League as you played, and where do you think the North American Soccer League is going to go in the future?
Well, I thought it was a really good league this year. A lot of quality teams, you know, a lot of history behind some of the organizations there. You know, San Antonio had an organization in the 70s there as well. And I've always taken pride in you know, and I know Rochester Lancers were an NASL team, you know, and won a championship in 1970. So, you know, the history there is really, it's really impressive. And I've always been real proud that, you know, that I'm able to do with people, the same situation that people before me did. You know, San Antonio got a brand new stadium that's going to seat 8,600 people with the ability to add on 10,000 seats to that stadium, you know, and possibly make a bid to become an MLS team. So, you know, it's a real good club, very well organized, and you know, I'm very fortunate to play for two great clubs with two great ownership groups, and you know, I couldn't be happier.
Very happy you're back here. And by the way, the team was the San Antonio Thunder, and one of the greatest players to ever lace up a pair of boots played for them, Bobby Moore, the England international, finished his career in the NASL with San Antonio. So, I don't think the Lancers ever played them, though, Joe.
We did.
Did you play them once?
Yeah, we did them once, I think. Because I remember going to San Antonio.
So, yeah, definitely a big soccer city, but Rochester is certainly the biggest soccer city. And Saturday you play Syracuse, obviously the rivalry, the three-way rivalry there. Last year we lost the season opener 19-17 on a last-minute goal. I know this year, I'm sure, Pat, the team wants to get that first victory under their belt in Syracuse and show the Silver Knights why we were in the playoffs last year and they weren't.
Well, I'm excited to get back there. You know, I consider them a big rival, being so close to us. And, you know, their coach, Tommy Tanner, is a former Rhino. You know, he's a great guy, but I love to show him why we're still in Rochester and he's not.
Yeah, definitely. So, one last question before I let you go. Lubo Kubic played for you guys in San Antonio, but he's not returning to the Lancers this year. Is he just trying to concentrate on an outdoor career for himself at this point?
That seems to be the gist. Lubo's a great guy. He's a very good friend of mine. I had a multiple conversations about it, and he's very torn about the possibility of coming back. But he's from Serbia, and he hasn't had a chance to go back to his home country and see some of his family. And, you know, he was looking forward to you know, training, getting ready to go back to outdoor. And he really didn't have any other opportunity to go back to Serbia. And it's been 3 or 4 years, he was telling me, and he felt really bad. So he's big on his family, and, you know, he wanted to take that opportunity to reunite with them and reconnect with, you know, people he cares about a lot. And so, you know, I respected that decision. It was, you know, it's tough because he's really torn. He's got a lot of good friends here, and, you know, he loved the city, and he's been going back and forth about it for months. It's been really, really tearing him apart, but, you know, just kind of happened that way. And, you know, family comes first. Everybody that knows anything should know that. And, you know, so I respected his decision.
Right. You've been back here since Saturday now, just a couple of days. Have you had the chance to practice with the team at all and meet the new players that might be there?
And yes, we trained this morning. Jimmy put us through our paces. It was really tough session. We were there for probably 2 hours and 15 minutes just trying to, you know, get a good workout in and refine some things about, you know, the indoor game. You know, I think we got a lot of returning players that have a good idea about what indoor is and, you know, what the level in the game is like. And, you know, I'm real happy to have that core group of players back. But with every season, you know, you're going to get some very good outdoor players that are making that transition to indoor. So you kind of got to break them into, you know, the style of play. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But I think the team's looking very solid. You know, and I was impressed. We, you know, out of our 18-man roster from last season, we have 11 returning players that all have a lot of minutes from last season. And, you know, with that kind of continuity, I think it's going to translate right from the get-go. I think that we're gonna hit the ground running from game one and really push to be one of the top two or three teams in this league.
Well, Pat, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We're glad you're back here in Rochester. We'll be there in Syracuse this Saturday to see you take on the Silver Knights, and of course the home opener next Saturday against the new team in the league, the Chicago Soul. Pat, thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Welcome
back, Pat.
Pat Heineken here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and Pat will be manning the nets for the Lancers this season and trying to keep the ball out of the back of the net. It's not as easy in indoors as outdoors. Joe, you can attest to that.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the ball really bounces, and the people are crowding the goal area. You got to have four pair of glasses to follow the ball, and you got to be very quick on your reaction. And I tell you, I a lot of respect for goalkeepers because they really can become heroes or victims very easy.
I can't believe I played indoor goalie in college when I was in our intramural league. Was that crazy? That's going to do it for the show tonight. I want to thank Pat Heineken and Rich Randall from the Lancers for getting Pat on the show. And also, of course, Wayne Fuller, the Lancers Wall of Fame induction ceremony, the 17th against the Baltimore Blast. The ceremony will be before the match. And then the Lancers home opener next Saturday against the Chicago Soul at the Blue Cross Arena, 7 p.m. kickoff. And this Saturday, the season opener in Syracuse against the Silver Knights. Be sure to go take the trip down the thruway and support your Lancers. This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni, Dick Howard up in Toronto, and Bob D'Angelo down at the WYSL studios. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 10:40 a.m. and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Have a good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.